You're listening to Graphic Novel Explorers Club Podcast, an audiobook club.
Greetings, explorers. I'm one of your hosts, Johnny, joined by
Dennis
and hungover Francis.
The rarest of the collectible figures.
Right.
Actually, not that rare. Today, we are discussing I Moved to Los Angeles to Work in Animation by writer and artist Natalie Norgat. Or is it Nougat?
Norgat.
Norgat. And published by Boom Studios. We hope you've already read today's title because all three of us have read the book, so beware, spoilers ahead. Explorers can share their opinions and thoughts with us by leaving a comment on our Facebook page, over on Twitter and Instagram at GN Explorers Club. We're also now available on YouTube, so go check it out. So first, before we start this book, I'd like to give a shout out to our explorers in the United Kingdom. The UK is our second largest listener group.
Wow.
After the United States. And actually, pretty significant group of listeners over there. So I would specifically like to thank the people living in South Auckenden. Probably saying that terribly wrong. And now they're no longer going to listen to the podcast.
Cheerio.
O-C-K-E-N-D-O-N. Auckenden. And Hi Wycombe. Man, they've got strange names over there.
Thanks, listeners.
It's reading.
We're happy to fly over and do a live recording if you'd like to sponsor us.
Yeah, we would love to do a live event over there. And South Auckenden is where we have our biggest group of listeners, falling largely behind, and they really need to get their shit together and catch up, is Lewisham, Witham, Corley, Birmingham, and London.
London, get it together.
Yeah, come on.
Gosh, London, Londoners.
So disappointing.
But yeah, thanks for listening to this podcast in the UK. And our apologies for me butchering your town names.
Yeah, no kidding.
But we butcher all names here.
Yeah, that's a running theme.
Yes.
Yeah. Today we're looking at Natalie Norgat's I Moved to Los Angeles to Work in Animation. It was published in 2018. It's a biographical story about Norgat's, I'm just going to call her Natalie, that last name doesn't flow very well, struggles to get into the world of animation. And it's really more of a how-to guide than a straight comic book.
Right. Well, it's actually her journey, and then it dropped with helpful tidbits of real information.
So this should have been a BuzzFeed article.
What?
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, because this is where the problem is. And I liked parts of it. Let me just start with that before I go and bash her. It's so specific. An animator in Los Angeles. And it wasn't just autobiographical. There was a lot of tips and like how to do it. And I thought more, it was really how to become a storyboarder, mm-hmm. right? It's not even animation. It's just a storyboard artist.
Well, or how to get,
we can get into it.
Yeah.
But I was just like, this could have just been an article. Like this could have been a 5-minute BuzzFeed. Like, hey, you want to get into animation? This is what I did.
I guess I follow a lot of animators on Twitter, and so this actually gave a lot of insight into what I've heard them talk about and their lifestyle, and I noticed a lot of them live in Burbank, and so actually it was very informative to me. I thought it was entertaining. It was geared specifically towards a person wanting to get into animation. I'm sure she, much like many of those professionals, get a question like Johnny probably gets, hey, how do I start a podcast? How do I do this? So instead of answering a million times, yeah, it could have been an article, but, you know, she's also a comic book artist, so she figures she turned it into a comic book.
Francis is fired up.
Well, I don't want to jump ahead.
No, go for
it. Is she a comic book artist? It was just loads and loads of copy. Oh, my God. It was just big boxes of small text, and I was kind of disappointed. The animation that she did do, the drawings, were good. Mm-hmm. I actually do like her voice as a writer, but edit yourself. And if you're an animator, tell some of the story with pictures. That's what comic books are all about. Like, it was just, come on.
Yeah,
oh,
it was.
Goodness.
There was a lot of copy, but I don't think it was any worse than, like, say, Alan Moore.
Right.
Like, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. There's
I also complained about.
Yeah.
And to be fair, we should back up. This was kind of a last-minute read for us, literally last night at like 9 o'clock at night, because the one book that we wanted to read kind of fell through. We've talked about wanting to do this book, so I think just like not just being with like, oh, I've got to cram mm-hmm. this in, and like, oh my goodness, it's so much, and like, I get it. LA is expensive. California is expensive. Like,
but
yeah, well, I don't want to jump ahead.
I mean, in defense, honestly, a lot of people have misconceptions about Los Angeles and California, and so I think she was trying to dispel that. Some of this probably came from a lot of questions. I mean, you're talking about her direct audience is probably someone late in high school or maybe in their early 20s who feels like they want to get into animation and they're not exactly sure how to approach it.
That's fair.
You know, unfortunately, some of it could be a little dated in the sense that it's very of its time in terms of like how much the rent is, et cetera. But I still say it's very applicable. And I found that a lot of this stuff rung true to what I had gathered from tidbits of reading Twitter feeds from animators as well.
So I think we should also say that the story kind of starts off, she lives in Portland, mm-hmm. and she's a comic book artist, right?
Yeah.
And she does some other artwork for like a company.
Yeah,
she freelances.
She does commercial work as well as her own comic book.
Yeah, she's a commercial storyboard artist, and she goes into that later about how she thought that doing commercial storyboarding would be a shoe-in to get a job as a feature film storyboard artist.
Yeah.
And she was just like, it's completely different how a commercial storyboard artist, you have to be really precise and you're basically selling the product or the ad campaign.
The whole look, everything.
Through the storyboard, whereas with the feature films and TV, it's more loose because it's a constant refinement. So they don't want things to be really dialed in. They just want you to be able to express movement and facial movements and just like a general sense.
A journey.
And mm-hmm. then when you do your pitch, you really animate it through your physical performance.
Yeah. So it follows her kind of starting in Portland and then as she moves and tries to break into the industry in Los Angeles. And I thought there were some really good things that I related to just working in marketing and mm-hmm. I think we both can relate to Johnny as a freelancer mm-hmm. trying to break in. And one thing that she talked about, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead too much,
but
this is the hardest part about breaking into any industry, I think. And I have a story too that's relevant. She has her day job and trying to get into Los Angeles into animation, she would have to work at night mm-hmm. to make these boards that she's not getting paid for mm-hmm. just to kind of build her portfolio and to like prove herself.
Well, to add on to that, what she does is she goes down to LA to visit a friend who works in animation. And this friend introduces her to a bunch of people that work at different animation studios. And there's a really beautiful thing where she's like, it was time to move down here when I was having a morning tea on my friend's patio and this like strange cat walked up and it was November and I was in a t-shirt and pajama pants and she's like, okay, this is the thing to do. So what she does is she prior to this, she was just kind of half-assing her attempts to like apply for studio jobs. Then she really gets into it. And this is a really solid tip that she gives. You look at what the studio wants, what their application process is, and then you build your portfolio around that. So she was constantly, like if they had a zoo project, I would go to the zoo and sketch at the zoo, which is smart. Like if you know who you want to go and work with, you should build a portfolio to show
oriented
them.
Towards their work.
Yeah.
And she was constantly training. So she would be taking like Photoshop type classes.
So she spent a year doing these like Lydia.com mm-hmm. and going to independent study courses, refining her process and learning Photoshop, Illustrator programs, all these other.
Film school.
And it took her a year.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, the point you were getting to, right?
Well, no.
No, sorry.
I mean, that's good background. My point was, when she's applying for jobs, she had to go do all this other work on top of her current job.
Right.
And this is an example that I can give. A few years ago, when I wanted to leave my job, I applied for a local grocery store because mm-hmm. they had a job in advertising for their copywriter. They wanted basically a full-fledged campaign. And I had like 24 hours to turn it around to meet the deadline. And some of these, I don't normally accept those applications because it just shows like everything they wanted. They wanted a name of a new restaurant, the social media post, all these other content. It was like an 8-page document that I had to send.
Damn.
Yeah. And for a lot of artists, though, whether you're a copywriter, you're a designer, some places like require this and there's no compensation. And it's brutal. She obviously wasn't dating anybody at this time. And I bet she had no social life this year that she had to dedicate to that, which, I mean, kudos to her. I thought it was very representative. And even like as a freelance writer, I've had to take projects with no payment at first, but now I refuse to do that just to like to get your portfolio and to build your name and your brand.
Let me ask you this, Frances, in relation to what you just told me, and I was a little confused because this is something that I've seen a lot, both in the book mentioned, not just by her, but at the end, they interview some other artists as well. And I've seen it on Twitter. But when they ask for these samples, so to speak, this isn't just like, hey, you know, like if I went into a job for administration, sometimes they hand you like a junk Excel sheet and they say, fix it up, right? And it's just, it's not real work. It's just to prove that you can do it.
Right.
Yeah, you know the program and how to.
Right, exactly. But when they ask you, hey, pitch this or do that, are they asking for real work for free, essentially?
So it's tricky. Usually no, because they want to see, but you have to do the real work to create the pitch.
Okay.
That's always a fear also that they could take the work and use it.
And then just basically get free work.
Right. But even if they don't use it, it's still so much time and energy to create that and to build it. And it's almost, and she did go the extra mile. Normally, your portfolio should speak to itself. You shouldn't have to go to the zoo and draw an animal for somebody that wants. I mean, she was smart to do it. And I thought her representation of that was very accurate. And I admired that. Like, it's a hustle and it's hard.
Yeah. While this book is about someone wanting to get into the animation field, it is really good for, I would say, anybody that wants to get into any creative endeavor that has a specific company or group that they want to work with, is you really have to put the time in to get. I was constantly applying at Pixar. This was like over 15 years ago, around that time, trying to become a storyboard artist for them. But I never really fully invested my time in it like she did. So it's like, no wonder I didn't get a job there.
And
you know,
even when she did, I mean, that I what I loved about it was that she invested a lot of time, a lot of effort. And even then, she only got a small percentage of interviews out of that.
To counter argue that though, or like to a counterpoint to that though, is as things, as she was doing this more and more, as things were moving along, she started getting story testing, which sounds kind of like what you were talking about, Frances, where you got to go through this like
rigorous process. So an agency, sorry, to hone in on this, agencies, they have to do the same thing sometimes to get a client with requests for proposals, but they'll require the client to pay them. They're like, hey, we're putting in a lot of work. They don't pay
for
the whole campaign.
That's what I do with my clients. Like
for a proposal,
once the proposal moves to a certain point and they're like, okay, well, I need to buy equipment, all this stuff, I'm like, well, we need to get a contract in place and pay me, because I'm not just gonna give you this work that I put
in. But that's what she's doing.
Yeah,
and that's what a lot of people are doing. They're putting in a bunch of work just to prove that they can do the work.
Yeah, but what her one of her friends in the industry tells her is, if you're getting to the point where the studio is asking you to do story testing, they see your abilities. You may not get the job, but you're at a level where they're like, okay, this person's on a radar. And that's when things start to slowly move forward with her. And I love how she talks about, she didn't believe in herself. She's like, I don't have any professional training in animation. I'm too old. I'm outside of their what they're looking for. And what she comes to find out and explains in this book, which I thought was done really well, and it's really important information if you're trying to work in any sort of creative realm, is just apply, because what they're looking for is their perfect person on that, on their advertisement for the position, but they will go with someone that maybe doesn't have enough experience, but their demeanor fits what they're looking for, or they see the potential to like, okay, we can groom this person into what we need.
And that's true for any job, not
just
a creative field.
Yeah, that's true. That's
but
true.
You are right. Like, I think for a lot of things, it's about finding the fit. And for writers, it's also with editors, you know, do they take feedback? Can I mold their writing to fit?
Yeah, she talks about that. Can you take criticism?
Yeah.
Like, that's a really important.
That's all you get.
Yeah.
That's all they do. I'm bashing her book right now.
I really liked it.
Yeah, it was not what I was expecting, because this book got lots of good reviews. For the year it came out, it was recommended in a lot of end of the year recommendations for 2018. But I thought it was going to be more of like a Jeffrey Brown biography about, I moved down here and this is what happened to me. And it's basically like a how-to manual.
Yeah.
But it's all, yeah, but I found it how to as well in terms of just life. And you, yeah, you have to hustle. And yeah, you have to
there's
network. And it's and there's a difference between networking and being schmoozy,
yeah,
and using people, which she said she ran into some of that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I did like how, which, like, hello, this is not limited to LA, but her struggle, like, just, like, knowing what neighborhood to get into and trying to keep mm-hmm. it under $1,500 a month.
Yeah.
Like,
and she talks about strategies for finding an apartment.
Yeah, and because especially this is more specific to LA, that commute can kill you. So where you live to your job is very, very important.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's crazy. Like, you could live super close. That would be only, like, a 10-minute drive for us. And for them, it could be, like, an hour or two.
Yeah, it's... So there were things that I did like about this book, like her struggle, what she showed. I thought was a very honest viewpoint. And to Johnny's point about how you do question yourself. Like, mm-hmm. I've been writing for a long time and you'll get feedback sometimes and you can't take it personal. You have to build a defense. But if you're just getting negative feedback all the time and you're just like, God, can I even mm-hmm. do this? Yeah. Like, is it time to throw yeah. in the towel? But then you'll get like, oh, this is like, you're a really good writer. Like, yeah, I know I'm a good writer. Like, you're an idiot. And it's harder too, I think, not to make it about me, but I am making it about me. What I have found working in marketing, working in the creative industry, people are much more likely to critique copy because they all know how to write. Right. Like, oh, I took English in high school. I took a creative writing class.
For someone listening, explain the difference between copy and writing.
That's a great question. So this is something that one of my teachers taught me, and it makes a lot of sense. You have to know what the rules are in order to break them. So we all know standard English writing. And you don't end sentences with prepositions. You know, you don't, but a full sentence is. With copywriting, you break a lot of those rules to get attention. Like, one word is a sentence. You have fragmented sentences. Mm. You will start or end with propositions when you want to be conversational. Mm-hmm. There's also, when I'm writing something, I have to ask, has all potential questions for the reader been answered? And I kind of go through and make sure. I have to make sure there's a very clear call to action. When it goes through the review process, when it goes through routing, people are like, oh, we should add this in. We should add that in, you know, like, and all of a sudden, there might be three or four calls to action. That's not a clear, concise document, you know? Mm-hmm. People will be like, oh, you can't start a sentence with and. Actually, yes, I can. Like, there might be a reason.
This reminds me of the Beatles working with Martin. What's their producer? His last name was Martin. Anyways, he was talking about the Beatles, and he comes from a background of traditional musical training. And these four guys had come in self-taught, had played in bars and clubs mm-hmm. and brothels. You know, they had come from a completely different world. And he, and specifically, is it which song starts with a fade in? I think it's 8 days a week, or is it Hard Day's Night? One of those songs starts with a fade in. And he told him, you guys can't do that. Music fades out. You don't fade in. And they were like, no, who says? And he's like, well, this is my training that tells me. And they were like, no, we can fade it in. So that's how they did the song, and he was constantly dealing with this. No, these are the rules of music, and they would constantly just change it to be like, no, this is, who says we can do it this way? So it's interesting that you're talking about copywriting as breaking those traditional rules.
So a lot of people have feedback, but what gets interesting is when you go to the design aspect, people don't have a design background. Mm-hmm. They don't, so they're much more hesitant to provide a lot of feedback. I've noticed, or the feedback they provide is very interesting because they don't speak design. So they're trying to convey something, and it's hard to convey to your designer exactly what you're looking for or not. But I think it's easier for me to work with designers because I know what I'm trying to get across with the copy. So like I can tell them like, hey, like this image, if they give me like photo options.
So technically copywriting is, it's writing, but it's geared more towards like,
it's all sales driven. Yeah, it's all marketing. And so like comic book writing is very different than copywriting.
Yeah.
It's very different than storytelling, short stories. Content specialists are different than copywriters, even though
there's some overlap.
Yeah, and I think that's what my frustration was with her. It was very clear she's not a writer. She doesn't have a writing background. And even though she did like a good job, it was just verbal diarrhea. And when we got to like, so we got through her story, and then she goes to like, here's all my friends' experience too. Mm-hmm. oh my God, it's just blocks of, I didn't even read it. I'm like, I'm not going to waste my, like, I don't care. I don't care about them. And it's so much copy. And that's the thing that a copywriter knows. Like, you can't overwhelm the reader. You have 3 seconds. You have to keep their attention. There's so much out there. There's so much clutter to break through.
I like the book, but it was a little long for me. And sometimes a little redundant in parts. Like, I think it would have worked better if with the people having their stories, if she had dropped that in on points. Like, here's X talking about this, their experience. Like, I think that would have, because when I got to that end too, I was like, well, we've gone through all this. Like, all right. Yeah, if it had been moved around a little bit to, well, now you're going to hear from this animator. I'll say John K, even though he's a piece of shit. But
I could see that. But I could see she wanted to focus it only on her journey and her information.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at the end, it was kind of like, it was an appendix of interviews with other people. Like, it's not just me. Here are other people's experiences.
Yeah.
And it was block text, but I found it was almost like you asked them a question and then they were just telling their story. So it wasn't so much, I mean, I guess they could have gone on and animated more of their stuff, but I felt it was it needed to push the information that it needed to push. I felt it was both a graphic novel and an informational, basically how I broke in.
Yeah.
So I found it useful in that part.
Jenna Fisher from The Office wrote a similar book about what I learned
acting
to get into acting, because she's like, when I moved here, I didn't know you had to go on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of auditions. I didn't know how to get an agent. I didn't know, you know, anything.
Right.
I just think this is a good book to have if you're looking to get into creative field.
Yeah, I think I would have liked it more if it was a book, like a sincere how-to, like short book, short story, or it was an article. Mm. I felt there was just a disconnect in the comic book realm. And I love personal essays when they're done as comic books. We read somebody, I don't know if it was season 2 or season 3. It was an animator for Warner Brothers.
Dark Knight.
Yeah, and
True
it was,
Batman.
Yeah. It was about like his like mental journey through and everything. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so riveting. And it was, you know, but this I was just kind of like, okay, I get it. Like, I don't know that the story or the way she told it fit the medium. But again, it could just be too, because I work in the field. So for me, I'm like, meh. But right.
You're more critical of writing.
Yeah, I was just like, and to be fair, like I said the same thing about The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. The world we live in right now, YouTube commercials are 6 seconds. That's the attention span of people.
Mm-hmm.
I went into the bedroom to read the comic book last night. That's taking time away from my fiance. My stepson is home. Like, I had to rush through dinner. People are making sacrifices to read or to like watch a movie. Anything they're doing, it comes at the cost of something. And I don't know that it was worth the cost, I guess. Like,
here's my strategy around that. Read on the toilet.
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, I would say that's true that it's, you know, for a person who maybe has zero interest in that field. But if you are interested or want to get in the field, or just to look at it as how you have to hustle just to get a job, I think it's great. I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be just a creative field. I think people just assume people have success overnight. They're just lucky. They're just super talented. I find that
that's a good point.
That this shows the good and bad sides. Yeah. Where, look, I didn't just get here because I happen to know someone. I didn't just get here because I was a good. She was an established comic book artist.
She talks about how it's like luck favors the prepared. That
right.
Saying. So someone said that to me a couple months ago. We hadn't seen each other in a while, and I was at this networking event, and he said to me, he's like, man, you know how lucky you are to be produced, like people are having you produce stuff. I was like, yeah, I'm lucky, but I'm like, I bust my ass to do this. He's like, and I'm like, and I do this a lot. And he goes, yeah, but even there's people out there that work as hard as you and are trying to do this, and they're not having the same luck. I was like, well, I also built up a large network of friends and people that, you know, we're interested in this. And so it was being in the right place at the right time and having the right skill sets and the drive to want to do this, you know, like her, like she busted her ass for a year
right
to get her job. And it came at with the recruiter saying, look, you weren't right for this job, apply for this one and I'll recommend you for it.
Right.
Well, and that's how she happens a lot too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That happens. And yeah, even that was, not in the creative industry, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. Where, you know, they were like, look, we really, you know, whatever. We like your personality. We like your work.
Right.
This job isn't right for you. Apply for this one. It's going to be up in 2 weeks and all. And that's the same thing that happened with her getting an apartment too, was she's just hitting all these roadblocks. And finally she thought outside of the box, and the person that she was staying with, which I thought was hilarious when she called and was like, hey, can I crash you? And he was like, ugh, fine. Like, way to make me feel comfortable about staying there. I will definitely try and find an apartment super fast. She asked him, do you like your rental company? He's like, yeah, they're great. So she called them and just, hey, do you have anything available in this price range? And they said, just submit an application, and when something comes up, we'll call you first.
In fact, I hear that's how you're supposed to do it around here.
Yeah.
In Sacramento. Oh, really? It's like, yeah. Don't wait for, if there's an ad, it's too late.
Yeah. I don't want to completely discredit Dennis. So I do think you bring up a valid point. Like, it would be interesting for people to know what the hustle is, what it mm-hmm. takes. And that, yeah, it's not just like people aren't, it's not just always knowing the right person too. She went above and beyond because this is the job that she wanted. Mm-hmm. And she yeah. worked to get that job.
Well, and we're seasoned professionals. We understand how this works. We've worked for a while, but you'd be surprised at how many people don't understand the basics of getting success. They think that they get their cell phone on them and their YouTube star within 2 seconds, or an esports star. They don't understand, like, you have to, whatever it is, even if you're doing YouTube, you have to hustle.
Yeah. And designers, there's always new programs, there's always new things to learn, like with writing. There's all these seminars that you can go to because, yeah, even though once you're in, you still have to maintain your skills. And when technology changes, you have to be able to adapt to that change. So, and yeah, you're right. Those people will.
A couple other little things about the book. I like how it was kind of bookended with her, where she was in life. Like mm-hmm. the Portland starts off. It's much more just like what she was doing in her life, what was going on, where she was at. And then the book ends with her going on a hike with her boyfriend. And when she goes into the canyon, because they probably drive out to like Mojave or, you know, somewhere out in the outskirts of LA, and she's just like, everything's brown. And then she slowly, her eyes adjust and she starts to see more definition in the landscape. And then they have like a little lunch or something and watch the sunset, and just everything's illuminated. And she concludes by saying, maybe LA is just an acquired taste like that. Maybe it takes some time for your eyes to adjust. And I thought that was a really beautiful. If the book had ended on that, I would have been like, oh, this is a really good book. But yeah, then it goes into...
Well, I kind of feel like it really did end on that. And the other stuff was kind of, you know...
Tacked on. I just felt tacked on a little for me.
It was tacked on, but I think on purpose. Like,
no, yeah, there was a point to it.
But, yeah.
But
see, I'm going to respectfully disagree again. Because as a writer, knowing your story ends was going to have the most impact. That was the impactful place to stop. It would have been a beautiful story. But then you just... throwing this diatribe after, just
which
because...
is why I think if those had been moved up and
kind of spread throughout,
I saw it like
in.
Like Alan Moore, you know, you have the comic book and then sometimes you have a little article at the very end. Now, you know, those are separate from the comic book because it's just words completely, but I think I saw that is the same thing as kind of like an addendum, like, by the way, if you're interested, here's some other perspectives really quick.
And I'm sure someone who really wants to get into animation work is gonna, it will read those. But for us, I was just like, eh.
I guess that's what I'm struggling with. How many people are there who really want to get into animation who are also comic book readers? Like, your audience is super narrow with this.
I have.
And I might be completely wrong. There might be people in United Kingdom right now. That's their goal.
In South Ocadon.
Yes.
I have a skewed view because I follow a lot of artists, and some of them are either comic book artists or web comic book artists who want to get into animation, or the other way around, they're animation people who feel like they're not doing anything. And she speaks to this, they're not doing anything worthwhile for them, right? Mm. They're just churning out art for the corporation, but they're not creating their own comics. And she tries to address that work-life balance of like making your own thing. And
she also talks about these studio environments, about how she's at a studio where they give her lots of vacation. She's got this like downtime because she works in feature films. She doesn't work in TV animation. So she just kind of rolls into one production. But if not, she's got this downtime where she learns different programs. Mm-hmm. She'll work on her personal projects.
Right.
before the next movie starts ramping up, and then she knows she's going to be busy for like 18 months.
Right. And, yeah. And it's a great point. It's, that one is specifically for animation because you're not just at the same studio necessarily for a huge amount of time, which she addresses that. She's seen it, but most of the time you're jumping from studio to studio, you know, working on the next project, sometimes headhunted for another studio.
Right. All right. Well, I kind of think the book is not quite a comic book, not quite a how-to manual, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
I didn't hate it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I would recommend, like, I think it's worth the read, but, like, because I texted you guys last night, like, I read it Francis style, where mm-hmm. I start skimming because I just, you've lost me at a certain point. Yeah. You've lost my attention at a certain point.
I guess I ate it up, like I said, because...
What did you think of the artwork?
Oh, I loved the artwork.
Oh, you did?
I thought it was very good. I actually even liked the addendum stuff because I thought it was insightful reading through some of those people's experiences.
You know what? In the 4 years we've been doing this, I don't know if Dennis has ever said, I hated this book, I don't recommend it. I think you have like an appreciation for all levels of effort.
No, I think of Fire. I think I was really harsh on that one.
Yeah, we were all kind of
sure. That was terrible.
And we saw positives and negatives in the Legend of Luther Strode series.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy Genius Barry Ween.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That was another one I tore up.
Okay. You.
Sorry, Judd.
You had a few.
I'm not just a nice guy.
Yeah. Well, where can people follow you, Francis, if they want to see your copywriting?
Oh, you need to. You need to go to
the
website.
Billboard.
Yeah. If you want to see my photos, you can follow me at Words in Waffles on Instagram.
All right. And Dennis, where can they follow?
On Twitter and Insta, you can follow the podcast at GN Explorers Club.
Also wanted to say congratulations to Frankie. She's going to be gone for a little while because she's getting married very soon.
Or already married by the time you hear this.
Yeah. By the time you hear this.
It's right before the wedding.
But you're going to be gone for a couple months because you're getting severely busy with that.
Yes.
And you're going to your cocoon, your egg, and you're going to emerge from it a beautiful bride.
That was so creepy.
She's not Mothra.
And then she's going to consume Andy.
Yeah. She's part praying mantis.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, congratulations to you and Andy for making it official.
I should write a comic book about the
you
BS
should.
Wedding planning.
You should.
It's going to be called
Some
BS. And
then we'll rip it apart.
Yeah. Why is there so much copy? There's hardly any copy.
We'll send it to everybody we were critical of. But here, read this.
And give us your feedback.
Oh,
give
my
us
gosh.
Your feedback, yeah. But yeah, we're really happy for you. And we'll see you, I guess, in a few months.
Yep.
Yeah.
Some of you might see me at the wedding.
Yeah, I will.
Maybe.
And Sasha
we'll
will.
See.
Yeah, this guy over here.
I don't know.
But thanks for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Bye.
What's her name?
Where's Rachel? Where's Rachel? Harvey Dent. Can we trust him?
What?
You don't know that skit? No. From The Dark Knight? There's a guy who makes a joke. That's all he says is, Harvey Dent, can we trust him? And then he tries to disappear because he's Batman. I'll send you the link.